Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, Private Officer International. Today, we're talking about alliances and allegiance, part two. And the components that are missing, we talked about last week, but there are two very big components that are missing, and that is alliances with private security and law enforcement agencies, allegiances. And we're going to be talking about how to get that whole thing started. We do have a lot of things happening in the private security industry. As you know, during the holiday season, things always ramps up for the security industry and law enforcement. Lots of activity, lots of thefts and robberies, just a whole lot going on. Of course, we have a lot of breaking news this week, as always. There has been more security officer fatalities, injuries, and we were taking a look at this over the weekend. Just during the month of October through November the 10th, there's been a lot of security officers arrested, a large number of them for homicides. We'll tell you about that. I want to remind you that Private Officer International made a decision a few weeks ago to reopen our chapters now that COVID is not gone but somewhat under control. If you're interested in being a chapter manager, opening a chapter in your area, it doesn't take much to do it. We give you all of the resources. We help set up that chapter. You have a monthly meeting. This allows you to work with other security agencies, LP agents, and law enforcement in your community. It helps you to reach out to security personnel or law enforcement injured on the job. And it also helps you to be the point person when there's a fatality of a security officer or law enforcement in your community. For more information, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. I will guarantee you that if you get involved, you will find it to be something that will give you hope, present a lot of opportunities, and I think it'll be a blessing for you and those in your community. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Remember, 24/7, you can go to our website, privateofficer.org. You can see some of the changes. Sign up to be a member right there at the top of the page. You can request an award for yourself or others. It does not have to be our annual award program. You can also put in a request for the chapter. You can also do a whole lot of different things right there on the website, privateofficer.org. And, of course, we want you to read our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, as well as check us out on social media, facebook.com/privateofficerinternational, and on twitter.com/privateofficer. We've had an unusual amount of requests by reporters. Just had another request from Baltimore to talk about the security officer training requirements. We'll tell you a little bit more about that here right after the first break. But it's unusual that so many call at the same time about the same type of subjects, although they're not all connected. They're not all wanting to talk about about the same stories, just coincidentally the same topics, and also the fact that with fewer law enforcement, how is the private security industry handling taking over some of their responsibilities? And we just kind of explain to them the best that we can that they are doing the best job they can with what they have, with the resources they have, the training, and so on and so forth. And we've also talked to several of them in length about, you know, the pay structure, the lack of benefits, the lack of sometimes support from their own employer. And then sadly, that's kind of what's going on. That's why it's so important to get the POI chapters back up and running. That's why it's so important to have boots on the ground, and especially in high concentration of security personnel work, such as Florida, California, Texas, D.C., Virginia Metro, and some other places. We want to, over the next year or so, we want to really have serious conversations, some round tables, talk with law enforcement and security, get them together in the same room. We want to begin getting more involved with what's happening locally. We have had initiatives previously with talking with legislators and even pushing certain laws through, and we want to get more involved, and we need people like you to do so. If you're interested, of course, you can contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Now, as we're talking about this, we also have some openings on several communities, including the advisory board, where that's kind of like a steering committee. You help us with brainstorming and think tank type stuff, where we discuss what can we do to prevent injuries, or what can we do about this or that other subject. And you have an opportunity to make difference in not only the industry, but in your community. So if you're interested, now would be the time to contact us about that. And same thing with our awards committee as one opening, and also our benevolent committee has two openings. And in that role, basically, it's not going to be all month or all day or all week. It's just a very few hours that you devote to that area of POI and our security industry. We are going to take a quick break. Like I said, when we come back, we'll talk about some of the things happening. Of course, we have a lot of breaking news, and we want to continue with the conclusion. I don't like that word. Scratch that. We want to continue with the conversation we began last week about alliances and allegiances, because it's not a conclusion. It's actually just the beginning. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training? Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
Rebound comes out to Hooley for the win.
Hi, I'm Peter Hooley. My mom has always been my biggest fan. She cheered from the bleachers, from the living room, from her hospital bed, until one day she stopped cheering. My mom died of colon cancer at the age of 52. If she had been screened earlier, it could have saved her life.
If you're over 50, get screened today, so you can be cheering tomorrow.
statistical estimation of the total homicides of security officers for the 2022 year. Our best calculations using information and data available to us is that we're probably going to be seeing around 115 homicides of private security and private police officers. We just added another one in the last 72 hours, and several others who are currently fighting for their life. This is substantially higher this year compared to the last 3 years, although last year we had 88 murdered. The total security officers dying on duty this year, we estimate to be around 200 to 205. That could be slightly higher or slightly lower, depending on a number of factors. In recent years, we've seen upwards of 4 or 5 security officers killed during New Year's Eve alone. Very tragic, dangerous, violent time of year, as many security officers are working at nightclubs, bars, and other New Year's Eve celebration parties, which often turn violent, fueled by drugs and alcohol, firearms, and madness. I'm praying that this year we will not see any officer deaths during the celebration for New Year's, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. This year has been, comparatively to the last 10 years, a violent one for private security. And as stated so many times on this program, in all of my interviews with the media this past year, and in our own writings and training, that this is a sign of things yet to come. And as dangerous and violent as it has been over the last 3 or 4 years, I really do believe that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Many things are pointing that way. First of all, more customers and more clients are hiring security, and not always the best security or the best trained or the best equipped or even armed. We're seeing more HOAs, parks, community organizations, and business associations employing contract security to do patrols, foot patrols, and mobile patrols. We spoke a number of months ago about a company in Chicago that was patrolling a huge swath of neighborhoods, including the business zone, and also another security company in Atlanta and the metro area, also taking on numerous business associations and residential HOAs and community associations, and really providing the services of law enforcement. In fact, one news media outlet there also identified a security company that were doing traffic enforcement on an HOA property. They were stopping vehicles and issuing citations. I'm not sure if they were just warnings or if they were fines that would go to the HOA. As we see more and more private security and also private law enforcement who do have law enforcement authority and jurisdiction taking on that big vacant area that is null and void of any law enforcement. Just recently, a county in California saying they no longer will patrol during the day because they don't have the manpower. They're not all alone. We have told you and mentioned this over the last 3 or 4 years, many police agencies, including more than 30 in the last 2 years, that have just deleted the types of calls that they would handle, including disorderly or disruptive juveniles, teenagers, drunks walking down the street, people urinating or defecating, things that are crimes but not urgent crimes. And because of the understaffed agencies, they're only looking at handling those urgent or emergent calls. This, of course, has opened up many doors for the private security industry. And with that additional interaction with the public, there's going to be a lot more assaults, injuries, and unfortunately, murders of security personnel. I am experiencing this very thing with my own security businesses, and I can tell you that this is writing on the wall as far as I'm concerned. We've been saying this for years. It started after 9/11. There was some uptick in security officer injuries, but now we are really seeing security officers in the thick of things. And, you know, I've mentioned several times in the last month or so, during the George Floyd riots, not demonstrations, riots. Yes, there were some peaceful demonstrations, some peaceful groups, but those, to be honest, were few and far between. I mentioned that a number of security officers were murdered during those George Floyd riots, including a retired St. Louis police captain who was working security, guarding a retail store, murdered. A federal courthouse contract security officer, also murdered, and several others during these protests. We are in the thick of things. We are on the front line. We are those who will be attacked first, even before law enforcement. I don't know what else to do or say, or I could jump up and down. I could be on my soapbox. I could be in front of the cameras and the news media 24/7, but I don't know what else to say or do to convince y'all, because so many are not on the same page. They're not with the program. They still don't believe that security is all that dangerous. Well, it is. In fact, recently I saw where the Department of Motor Vehicle in a number of states, including Virginia, has hired armed security officers just to make sure that people don't become violent, that they don't assault staff, that they don't disrupt the order of things. We are getting to the place where private security will have to undergo more training, more de-escalation, more firearm, and to be honest, as we discussed about a month or so ago, many are seeing the need for all private security, or the majority of private security, some say just armed private security, and I would be fine with that, to be sworn in as auxiliary or special police officers in every state. When I come back from this break, we're going to talk about some opportunities that you have for business ownership and upcoming training, and then we're going to look at a few of the news items that's happening around the country and get right on over to our subject of the week as we continue talking about alliance and allegiance. Alliance and allegiance. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector, Private Officer Beat, Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and we'll be right back.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over.
Can you see lights?
Fast.
I'll be flankers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us.
We've got your back.
Do you have ours?
You got our back?
You got ours?
You got our back?
Please, slow down.
And move over.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents just always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Each day, those that protect and service in law enforcement put their lives on the line. These law enforcement officers often work long and irregular hours in tough and dangerous conditions, run a high risk of being attacked, wounded, or even killed by the very criminals that prey on us. Every year, hundreds of law enforcement officers are killed or seriously injured in the line of duty. Blue Alert is a system that provides the means to speed the apprehension of violent criminals who kill or seriously injure local, state, or federal law enforcement officers. Find out how you can truly help those who help. That's BlueAlert.us.
Right now, we have 4 exciting training opportunities coming up, and I hope that every one of you take advantage of them. First, right out of the gate for the 2023 new year, we're going to have our first Citizens Police Academy of 2023. Be sure to be listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and if you receive our newsletters, then you will definitely get that information along with the link for you to register for the 2023 Winter Citizens Police Academy. And that's really exciting stuff. You're going to learn everything from laws of arrest to de-escalation, use of force, patrol techniques, and so much more. Remember, this is free. Not going to cost you anything. You're going to get a beautiful certificate, a patch, along with membership into the Alumni Association of the Citizens Police Academy. So be looking for all of those details coming out within, well, just a week or two. What else do we have coming up in 2023? We are super excited to continue with our training across the country. We're going to be bringing 2-day seminars and roundtables will be included across the country. We already have several scheduled, one in Daphne, Alabama at the Daphne Civic Center. We have one coming up in Columbus, Ohio. And we're going to put 2 or 3 more on the books. Just $100 for the 2-day event. We're going to have this 4 or 5 different 2-day special training underwritten by one of our longtime sponsors. And so we're very excited about that. We're also going to invite some vendors in and maybe a few other speakers. Not everybody just wants to hear me. I get it. So we're going to have some other speakers come in as well. We're also going to be offering a live interactive training online somewhere around late January, mid-February. You'll be able to log in to a special interactive website and participate in this training just like it was the real deal. It's artificial intelligence being used in this training, and it's pretty cool, pretty nifty, actually. And then we will have a mid-year training conference. Right now we're looking at scheduling that someplace in the middle of the country within driving distance of, you know, if you live on the East Coast or the middle of the country or the West Coast, it'll be within a day's drive. And we'll be telling you more about that coming up in the new year. Of course, we're very, very excited about the new streaming platform. Well, when is it going to be ready? We've been talking about it for months, years even. We don't believe you. No, it's really happening. There's a lot of production, a lot of behind-the-scenes legalities and other things that have to be taken care of. And we're at that point where we've got the platform. We're working on some of the shows, adding a brand new show called Some Gave All, where we will feature those security officers and private police officers that have given their life in the line of duty. And we will tell you more about their story, about their backstory, about their family, about the death of the security officer, their career in the business, and so much more. Some Gave All. I am personally excited about this. And if you know of any security officers in your area that have been murdered, died on the job in a traumatic way, please contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. I have a very exciting special announcement. Now, the last time that we made this announcement, we had a poor response. And I'm hoping for a different type of response this time. We are going to give away, in a competition, 3 private security and public safety businesses. No, you don't have to spend a dime. You don't pay a nickel. What you need to do, starting right now, we will announce the winners before Christmas. Send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com outlining your experience in law enforcement, security, or public safety. Also, why you think you would be a good candidate to manage that local office. And also, tell us more about yourself, your family, your history, your background. Are you a veteran? So on and so forth. Be as personal, intimate, upfront as possible. You will own these security public safety offices, and you will profit substantially from these ownerships. You'll receive all of the upfront training on how to run it, how to market it, and we will support from the back office all of those operational needs, including accounting, legal, marketing, resources, so on and so forth. If you would like to put your hat or your hat in the ring, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Send us that essay. Be sure it's not just 3 or 4 lines, because like last time, we will not be able to help you, because we're looking for a lot more information on you and your background and what it is that you want to do and why you would like to be one of the recipients of this free business. Now, this is a patrol and public safety only, including offering services to law enforcement. So it's very exciting. No standing posts, no guard work, no minimum wage. This is going to all be high end. And I can tell you from doing it for a number of years this is going to be the best of all worlds. Remember, send an essay, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're looking for correspondents right now from every area of the country. This is a part-time gig. You get paid for the job, for the assignment. And we're looking for somebody who can go out and take video, somebody who can talk to other security companies or proprietary companies in the area. We will dictate the information that we need, the video that we need, what type of pictures we need for a certain project that we're working at our new streaming network. This is a pretty good gig if you are a photographer or you love photography. If you like being behind the microphone, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Another great opportunity is you have the opportunity right now to put your current podcast on the new streaming network produced by Blue Ram Media Group, LLC. Now, our behind-the-scenes operation will include getting your podcast on more than 36 sites, including all of the major ones, and streaming it on no less than 5 websites for one low monthly fee. If you have a podcast currently on any of the podcast platforms or YouTube, contact us today, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And one other spectacular, actually there's two. I can't keep up with them. There's so many. There's an opportunity for you to advertise, market your service or product on the new streaming network. Very low for dollars at a day. Just dollars for a day, literally, for you to market your service, which will include not only the new streaming platform, but our already established radio shows and social media sites and websites, including privateofficer.org, Private Officer News, the magazine, and our daily blog, privateofficernews.blogspot.com, privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. All of this for just really dollars a day, very inexpensive. Contact us today at helpdesk@privateofficer.com to learn more. And you can, I love it when I say this, I really do, you can now begin ordering membership into the streaming platform where you will see all new content, where you will have access to videos, training, radio shows, podcasts, and so much more, all at one site. Go to the website, blueramedia.com. Check it out today, and you can begin your membership, your subscription, right away for just $69.95. It's happening, folks. It's real. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
That's this week. We'll go over some of the top headlines that's made the news here at Private Officer over the last few days. Coming out of DeSoto, Texas, we got this notice yesterday. Security officer under investigation after using pepper balls, fired pepper balls during a student fight. Police are investigating this incident. First, the security officer used spray, which the school district spokesperson, Tiffany Blackman Jones, said was within their guidelines. A fight had broke out at the school cafeteria and escalated to the point of being dangerous. The school security officer tried to break it up and then eventually deployed pepper spray. Now, that was within the guidelines, says the spokesperson. A short time later, the same students were involved in another fracas, but this time the security officer went for a little bit more heavier duty weapon. He grabbed his pepper ball gun and began firing from on top of a staircase. Now, the spokesperson said this, too, could be within the guidelines, but that they are investigating. Coming out of Rochester, New York, a sad story, no matter which way you look at it. Authorities say an off-duty Greece, New York police officer shot and wounded a person, shot another person to death, and then killed herself. 29-year-old police officer Tiffany Gayton of the Rochester suburb Greece Police Department shot 27-year-old Angeli Salas and the second woman. They say Gaston turned the gun on herself, then she was pronounced dead at the scene. Police do believe that this was a domestic type situation. Coming out of Idaho, four people dead in an edge weapon attack at an off-campus housing building complex. Investigators are still conducting their investigation. The suspect not taken into custody. Also in Charlottesville, Virginia, an attack by a student there killed four people, injured several others. That suspect is in custody. Federal authorities now investigating how in the world did a box cutter get on board a passenger flight. The TSA released a statement yesterday saying that the plane leaving Cincinnati headed for Tampa had to be diverted to Atlanta after a passenger was found to have a box cutter. The flight on the Frontier Airlines, Flight 1761, was quickly diverted after a witness observed seeing a passenger with a box cutter. Passengers say the man made threats to stab someone on board. Federal agents, local law enforcement in Atlanta met the flight. They shut down the runway, called an emergency, and then began to enter and take the suspect into custody. His name not been released at this time. An Allied security officer facing termination has filed a lawsuit. The security officer in San Francisco, facing losing his job because he refuses to pay union dues based on his religious beliefs, says his employer and union are violating his constitutional rights, a position that appears to be supported by past court rulings. Thomas Ross, represented by the National Right to Work Foundation, an anti-union organization, has filed complaints with the federal and state EEOC, and a lawsuit could be pending. Allied Universal and United Service Workers West, an affiliate of the Service Employees International Union, are the target of the complaints and possible lawsuit. The complaint says Title 12 of the 1964 Civil Rights Act requires employers to accommodate employees who cannot, because of their personal religious beliefs, join or financially support a union. We will be following this story. A security officer in Los Angeles killed a man who had stabbed a child and a woman at an L.A. Target store. A 9-year-old boy and a woman was stabbed repeatedly during a unprovoked and heinous act, police say. The suspect, a 40-year-old man, was quickly shot and killed when he confronted a security officer. The security officer pulled his weapon and shot the man to death. The man was armed with a 9 to 10 inch kitchen knife, which he had taken from the store. The 25-year-old woman stabbed in the chest, and the 9-year-old boy, both appeared to be in good condition. Police are investigating after a security officer fired his gun inside a school in Virginia. Authorities in Northern Virginia say that they responded after a report of gunfire, thinking that it was an active shooter. Police there say no one was injured. In Miami, Florida, another security officer fired his weapon. This happened at the historic Overtown Metro Rail. According to police, some type of disturbance occurred. The security officer pulled his firearm and fired, shooting one suspect. A New York security officer has been arrested. According to police, Jason Lane allegedly had images of nude preschool children and was arrested. He was a school security officer. Investigators with Homeland Security and local police are still looking into this. A school security officer in Washington, D.C., is thankful after he was almost killed when a sniper opened fire outside of a D.C. school. He returned to the George Washington University after being shot. Retired police officer Antonio Harris thanked God, his surgeon, and the first responders who rushed him out of danger the day the sniper opened fire near the Edmund Burke School in the district about 6 months ago. We reported on that when it occurred. He said that he was badly wounded and was bleeding internally for hours. Police, EMS, emergency workers were able to get him to cover. He got to the hospital. He's recovering and today doing well. In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, a retired police officer decided he just couldn't sit home after retiring for more than 25 years in law enforcement. So, after working in the detective division and working on child abuse cases before retiring, he decided, well, I might as well put myself and my time to good use. So he's joined the ranks of the school district's security team. He says protecting children is right up his alley. Security officers tackled an active shooter at a Buffalo drug clinic, police say. The man armed with a rifle fired shots inside the substance abuse treatment center in Buffalo's west side. This happened on Thursday last week. Police say the incident was an attempted robbery tied to drug activity that was connected to a separate shooting that occurred Thursday. Police say that the security officers on duty quickly ran and tackled the man, subduing him and taking his gun. Security officers are being called heroes. The man was armed with an AR-15 style platform rifle. A man injured by a security officer at the Power and Light in Kentucky, in Kansas City, Missouri, rather, was awarded $700,000 last week in a lawsuit. The lawsuit filed by Rodney Rivers, a Texas man, said that he was injured. He was standing outside when this occurred, the security officer, and he got into a confrontation. The security officer immediately began attacking him. In Warner Robins, Georgia, a suspected child kidnapper at Walmart was held at gunpoint by a witness. An armed civilian legally carrying a firearm spotted a man grabbing a child and leading him quickly out into the parking lot. When officers arrived, they arrested 60-year-old Harriman Dube. Police investigated and learned that he arrived at Walmart in a vehicle. He went inside and picked a child that he forced out into the parking lot. A good Samaritan spotted this happening and quickly went after him at gunpoint and held him until police arrived. In Red Bluff, California, the Tehama County Sheriff's Department says no more. They are suspending all daytime patrol services. They say they are understaffed and do not have enough deputies to man and patrol the area day and night, as well as man the jail. The sheriff says that he met with the California Highway Patrol to discuss the parameters of emergency response should something happen during the daytime. This is not unusual. It sounds like it might be, but actually it's not. It's happening all across the country. And one last story coming out of Baltimore, protesters gathered after a security officer killed a man who threw a brick at him. More than 100 protesters gathered to protest the death of a man by a security officer. Protesters say that the man, 35-year-old Kevin Torres, did throw a brick toward the security officer, but that he was not aiming at the man. He was upset over a confrontation outside the Christie Bar in the 4000 block of East Lombard Street. The man who was shot and killed was the president of the Villanova soccer team and was celebrating a team win at the bar when the confrontation occurred. Joining in the protest was Latinos Lives Matter group. Police monitored that protest but said that no arrests was made. When you see news happening, be sure to send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com and read our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Join the conversation on twitter.com/privateofficer and on facebook.com/privateofficerinternational. We're going to take another quick break. Got a lot more coming in today's radio program. Remember, this is a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International, the voice of the Frontline Protector. And we'll be right back.
Right, it gets thrown away, even if it's totally safe to eat. But the biggest waster of all is us. On average, every American throws about a pound of food away every single day. Here are some ways you can stop wasting your food. Number one, meal prep. You don't have to be a fitness influencer to plan out your meal. If you plan before you shop, you're less likely to find a moldy vegetable in the back of your fridge. Number two, store it right. Storing food in the right place keeps it from going bad. And your refrigerator has those produce drawers for a reason. Become best friends with your freezer. Your freezer will hold things for a much longer period of time. Number three, be scrappy. Literally, learn to cook with things that you would normally throw away, like carrot tops, herb stems, brown avocados, and pickle juice. You want to save money and like saving the planet? Save your scrap.
Allegiances and alliances. They sound pretty much the same, don't they? Look them up in the Webster's Dictionary. Check Wikipedia or other online resources. And you'll see that, yes, although they are somewhat the same, they're not exactly the same. They're not both saying specifically the same thing. They're a little bit different. You see, you can have an alliance with someone, whether that be a business or an individual. We have an alliance. We have an agreement. We have an understanding. You can have an alliance with the producer and distributor of certain hard goods, whether that be motor vehicles or clothing, jewelry, or anything else that's for sale. But it doesn't mean those parties have an allegiance to each other. Alliance is a little bit more loosely defined, whereas allegiance, it means we are solid. I've got your back and you've got mine. We're a brotherhood. We're a family. We are one. If they mess with one of us, they mess with both of us. We have an allegiance. We may also have an alliance, but our relationship goes much deeper than that. Much deeper than that. We are connected at the hip. My friend used to say, he's my brother from a different mother. We are all one. It doesn't matter how many individuals or companies. If we have an allegiance, we are strong, united, undefeatable, and don't even think about messing with us, or we will all come after you. An alliance is not so tightly knit, not so tightly grouped, not so serious. Oh, they have an alliance. Police departments and sheriff's departments often have an alliance with each other, especially if they border each other's town, city, or county. They work together frequently. And some might have what's called a mutual aid pact. If there's gunshots, if there's a person shot in our town, because we're a small town, we might have another town next door also respond on that call. And the same is true with the fire department. Certain calls, such as structure fires or even commercial or residential fire alarms, multi-vehicle accidents, or other types of life, medical, or fire emergencies will often have the response of multiple fire departments in smaller communities. It's called an automatic mutual aid. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to wait to get there to call additional resources. They don't have to waste time getting the necessary manpower and equipment to a scene. It's already on the way and across the country. Almost 75% of all fire departments are volunteer fire departments still. So it works that way in both the paid as well as in the volunteer departments across our nation. Automatic mutual aid response. They have an alliance, but much more than that, I would say that they have an allegiance. And I have known of some police agencies who operate on the same model, the same allegiance. No matter what, we will be there. If this, that, or XYZ happens, you can count on us. We're coming. Now, recently in Texas, there was a shooting of a deputy sheriff. And I saw an interview last week about that. The deputy sheriff survived. But what he was saying from his hospital bed was it was such a relief to know that even though I couldn't make it to my radio right away, the minute I hit that emergency button, I knew that not just my agency was responding, but multiple police and sheriff's departments were on their way to help me. And to be clear, they don't have to. There's no law that I'm familiar with that says, oh yeah, if XYZ town has a crisis, they have an emergency, guess what? You got to go help them out. You got to cover it. You got to, no, they do it out of love. They do it out of allegiance, alliances. They understand that they are stronger together than they would ever be separated. In the private security industry, we don't operate like that. We don't think like that. We don't band together. Sadly, for more than 18 years now, as we continue to mark those sad events of officers, security personnel, private police being killed. Sadly, we've gone to a number of funerals where not even the employer has shown up. Not one employee of the company has shown up. I have talked with the family after the services and said, did so-and-so company ever call, or did they? Sometimes they had. Sometimes a representative had come to their door, but not very often. It's very seldom that security agencies have an alliance or an allegiance. There's something about private security which is antiquated. It's still stuck in the 1950, 60, 70 mode when everybody was a competitor. Let's not tell anyone who our clients are. Let's not train across the city, county, or state with multiple companies because they might steal our employees. They might steal our trade secrets, our clients' information. And yes, that does happen. And I got news for you. In law enforcement and the fire service, many agencies don't like each other. They don't like the way that they do business. They don't like their protocols. They don't like how they handle business. But let there be a mutual aid fire call. Let there be an officer down, shots fired, a call for help. All of that goes out the window. Police are responding to back up their brethren and sistren. They are responding because they have a strong allegiance. And they don't worry now, at that time, about their differences. They don't worry about, oh, well, he took a drug trafficking case from me, but I've been working it, but he knew it was mine, but he took credit. They don't worry about that. They might worry about that or still be upset about it after the emergency, but not during. Everybody's running to help everybody else in an emergency. But not like that in the private security industry. We still try to keep everything secret, and understandably, I mean, this is a competitive business. This is a hugely competitive business where everybody is out to get everybody else. And that's no baloney. That's no bull. It's a cutthroat type business. People, security companies, will underbid by 20 or 30 cents. Sometimes even a dollar or two per hour. Sometimes they'll even take what's called a big gamble, and they will give it away just to get that account. The larger companies can survive that. The small to medium size, not so much. Allegiances and alliances. Alliances and allegiance. Don't you think we need to kind of look at that, take a hard look at that, and see how we can change our work model, how we can help each other? Sure, we can still have secrets. We don't have to tell them every client that we have or anything about our contracts or how much we pay our staff or how much we're billing. All of that, understandably, should be kept secret. But when another security officer is in need of help, backup, when a security officer has been killed or is injured or dies suddenly in an accident or a medical emergency on the job, don't you think that we should go to that funeral? Don't you think that we should have an alliance with that company at that point? Don't you think that we need to let bygones be bygones and step up to the plate and show that we stand together with our family, our security company family, our security industry family? We've lost our way in the security industry in many areas, and this is one of them. And when I come back from this break, I'll tell you about some of the other ways. We've discussed last week numerous ways when we can have, how we can have better allegiances and alliances with people, with staff, with clients and their employees. But when I come back, we'll talk about how we need to have a better alliance and even allegiance within the security business, security companies, and how we need law enforcement. We say we don't, but we do. You're listening to The Voice of the Frontline Protector, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International.
In a minute, I'm going to drown in this pool, surrounded by friends and relatives. That's because Dad thinks Mom is watching me, and Mom thinks Dad is. But actually, nobody is watching me. And you rarely make a sound when you're struggling alone.
Don't assume someone else is watching. Become a water watchdog at abbyshope.org.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
Edition of the Private Officer Beat radio show. We're talking last week and again this week, both here on Private Officer Beat as well as the LP Zone, about having an alliance with individuals, clients, staff members, the community, law enforcement, and even our competitors. I believe that it is essential in this day and age, no matter the profession, no matter what type of business that you're in, that we have an alliance with like-minded people who are in a certain profession. And while many different professions and businesses across the globe, they continue to compete with one another, some of them ferociously, really cutthroating prices, really cutting their competitors down, making fun of their quality, or other supposed advertising components, we're better than them. But most professions, if not all, have some type of unity over certain issues. They stand together regardless of how competitive they are. During COVID, we saw the food industry come together, producers of food, including meat packing companies, canning goods companies, those growers specializing in certain products, all came together for the good of the country first. They were still competitive. I'm sure that they were still at odds over certain areas or topics, and yet in the crisis, in the time of need of our country, they got busy and they began producing to make sure that our country did not go hungry during the pandemic. Yes, there were shortages beyond their control. Yes, certain products didn't get made. In Alabama, there's a very famous sausage maker. It's called Conic Sausage. They're in Conic County, Alabama. And they make a wide variety of sausages that are used in restaurants as well as sold wholesale to retailers for people like you and me to eat at home. There were shortages of pork. There were shortages of the spices necessary that go in to the sausage. And so it did delay the manufacturing of certain sausages, but they ramped up the sausages that they could make, and they got those out to market. And then they came up with some new recipes for different types of sausages that they had all the ingredients for. Other companies and suppliers quickly came to their rescue. And within a few months, all products were back online. I saw this firsthand, and I saw several other similar scenarios during the pandemic. And I am proud to say that I know of at least one security company that came to the rescue, to the aid, without being called, when a security company had, a small security company, had a lot of their employees out because of COVID. We in the security industry need to be able to work together. And what's always been confusing to me in this area is that organizations such as Private Officer International and as is American Industrial Security, we have always held joint training, open training. Anybody can attend. No exclusions. No companies denied. Everybody welcome. As is, and POI has had chapter meetings where we open the doors to anybody, regardless of employer, regardless of any other factor. We've had not only private security and loss prevention, but we've had management, real estate management companies. We've had law enforcement from all levels. There was no delay. There was no setback. There was no pushback because people were from different employers, different organizations, different entities, different walks of life. Everyone was welcome, everyone shared and participated. One of the unique open door policies in this situation has been coffee with the chief. Police departments across the country a number of years ago began coffee with the chief. You could go in, citizens could go in, police departments, fire departments, business owners could all go in and have a cup of coffee and talk about crime, talk about police response, talk about negative issues with law enforcement in their community, but it was an open door policy. We in security need to have that open door policy, that alliance with our community, with our private security community. How do we start this? I've been involved in Coffee with the Chief, and I've been involved in other community initiatives, including having monthly meetings at HUD and low-income communities, and having law enforcement and the security vendors involved. We begin this by stepping forward. We begin this by taking the initiative. If it's not already in place, organize it. Coffee, neighborhood coffee. Coffee with security and law enforcement. It doesn't have to be a big, huge meeting. Let's keep it casual and calm. Let's invite anybody and everybody, including other security companies, in. Now, just recently, Private Officer International announced, and we are excited about this, the reopening of our chapters now that COVID is officially not gone, but for the most part, under control. And we have begun advertising for new chapter managers. If you're interested, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We plan on having some of these open meetings. We plan on inviting other security companies to just sit down and talk. We don't have to reveal our client information. We don't have to always be competitors. We can be competitors when there's a bid. We can be competitors in the marketing department, but we don't have to be competitors 24/7. We need to find a way to bridge that gap. We need to find a way to put a hand forward and say, let's work together on certain issues, including keeping our security officers safe. What do? Do we go to the legislators and say we need more training? Do we need certain other protections? Do we get a meeting with OSHA and say, look, you're not protecting us as much as you are the construction industry. You're not protecting us like you do the fire department. There's been a big initiative over the last 3 or 4 years, maybe longer actually, about the contaminants of smoke and how it's caused cancer dozens, if not hundreds of times in firefighters' lives. And now there's a big initiative. Fire department's issuing 2 sets of turnout gear, washing a set while wearing another set. And there's a lot more initiative now about taking that gear off as soon as you are out of the fire zone. Take it off. There was a time when all that smoke and soot was a badge of honor. We showed it off. We said, look at this. We're true firefighters, smoke eaters. Yeah, that's us. Yay. And it was a big deal. Firefighters with hats that were melted, twisted. Didn't even look like a helmet, but that was cool. We were in the fire. We were in the heat. We were under the gun, and we did it. We beat the fire. It was a badge of honor. We need to talk with OSHA and say, look, you're not protecting us. We need more protection. Did you know that during COVID, there was nothing in place under OSHA guidelines for private security that was any different than any other employee? There was no, very little enforcement of PPE for private security. There were many. We received well over 50 different emails saying we have to buy our own. Our employer's making us purchase it. Our employer gave us one mask, no gloves, and said if you want anything else, go buy it. Maybe we, as a profession, collectively, jointly, instead of separately, we need to go and sit in front of these organizations like OSHA. We need to sit in front of our legislators and say, look what we're doing. Look at how many of our people are being injured, are being killed, and there's no extra protection. There's no extra requirements. There's no extra anything for private security, or even for private police. We need that component. We need those government entities to be involved. The other component that we really need is we really need law enforcement. And it's time for some of us to step aside from our own way of thinking, our own uppity, if you will, our own prejudices against law enforcement of all people. And we need to work jointly, not separately. We need to collectively work with the various law enforcement associations out there. We need to collectively, every time a security officer is injured, make sure that we not only follow up with the DA's office and law enforcement, but that we're sending representatives to the courtroom when there's a trial. I told you earlier about the disappointing funerals that I've gone to with no shows of private security or even the employer. The same is true when there's a murder trial. A security officer has been murdered. Only the family shows up. No representatives of the security company. No fellow security officers. No sign of unity. No push for the DA to make sure that the maximum sentence is given. We don't give a damn. We don't care about these people. We say we do, but we don't care about them. Let's get real. If this was a police officer trial, a suspect in a murder of a cop, that courtroom would be full of uniforms. They couldn't pack them all in there. Security people want to call themselves professional. They want to get the same authority, the same respect. They want everything given to them without doing a damn thing, without lifting a finger, without taking a step forward. That's the society that we live in. People wanting everything for free, for granted. It's always ours. Just do it. Just give it to us. We don't do crap, but do it for us. That's not how this world works. It's not life. It's not reality. When a security officer is killed, and that killer goes to trial. And let me step backwards a minute. The other frustrating part is we spend a lot of money. We spend a lot of time working with Crime Stoppers, police departments across the country. And yet, even the employer of the deceased security officer seldom comes forward with any type of reward for information, seldom works with Crime Stoppers, seldom calls the police detectives handling the case and say, hey, where you're at? Where are you at with this? Got a suspect yet? They're too busy getting on with life. Too busy going out selling more contracts that they cannot staff with properly trained people. Just another body. Just another person. Oh, well, I'm sorry he got killed. I'm sorry she's dead. I'm sorry she laid in the parking lot for 8 hours before some employee came in the next morning and found her. But we got business to take care of. We got to hire somebody else to take her place. Being a professional starts by doing the smallest of things. Showing that you care about your people, your staff. Showing that you care about life. Showing that you care what happens to your security personnel, private police officers, your employees. I don't think most do. It might be slightly different in smaller companies. But in general, nationwide, and probably around the world, private security is too busy being busy making money. We need law enforcement. We need to have meetings with them. We need to support them. Some of the initiatives that we've done through the years, we've gone to those coffees with the cops. We've invited them out to our chapter meetings, to our memorial service, and even award presentations that we've done in various regions. We have also presented them with awards. Last year, we presented 3 Purple Hearts to police officers across the country injured in the line of duty. We have, through the years, as an organization, been inclusive of law enforcement. We're partners. We're not exactly equals, but we are partners. We have not only an alliance, but we have an allegiance. We align with their goals. We align with what they are doing. We align with each and every law enforcement department, and we do have an allegiance. Brothers, we got your back. You need something, we'll be there. One of your guys get injured, we're going to support that family. We'll send out some gift baskets, some food. We'll make our presence known. How many of you have done that? How many of you management security owners have gone out of your way when an officer of the police department is injured? How many have gone to the hospital? How many have sent out a get well card? How many people have sent a flower, a fruit basket, something to let them know that you have an alliance with them? You got their back. In 2023, we have already begun to calendar some dates to have a roundtable with law enforcement and security companies. Just a sit down, maybe over lunch, maybe something like Breaking Bread, one of our new streaming TV shows. Maybe we'll do some of those. But I want to do a real sit down and say, look, what are your issues with security people? What do you want to see happen? What do you expect of them? What do you think of them? Here's who they are. Here's what they do. This is what's happening now in security. I know maybe it still seems like they're the guard, the watchman of 1950, 60, but they're not. Very few do true access control. Very few are in a guard house very few are at a industrial plant. We're out there amidst the public. We are protecting and serving. We are risking our life every day. Now, recently, I went back out in the field. I have a security company, several of them actually, and I've worked in law enforcement out in the field in the last, you know, dozens of years. Too many. But I've recently began working more out in the field for security, patrolling, answering calls, responding to alarms. Whole different perspective. Much different than it was 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago. More defiant, more non-compliant, more resistant, more questioning of the authority, more, I mean, the world's changed. The job for security is definitely tougher today than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, even, I would say, 5 years ago. Since the George Floyd riots, the world has changed for law enforcement and anybody in uniform security. And I will tell you this, and make no mistake, for any race, black officers are taking a lot of hell. White officers are taking a lot of hell. Spanish officers, Asian officers, Indian officers, officers regardless of color, ethnicity, creed, religion, it doesn't matter, people. All that these criminals see is blue. They only see one thing. You're the enemy. You are the enemy. So if you stop to question someone, you stop to detain someone, you should expect the same defiance as if you were a law enforcement officer. It has resulted in my use of force recently. It has resulted in my use of pulling my firearm recently several times. It has resulted in one person pushing me to the ground, one person pulling a knife. This is the reality of security, I can tell you firsthand. It's always been this way, but definitely just in the last 5 or so years, it has definitely increased by a large amount. I couldn't even guess what that amount is, because you would think it would vary from state to state, coast to coast, but it really doesn't. I'm hearing from Maine. I just heard recently from small town Indiana, they're having the same problem. And as we read close to 3,000 news sites every day in our office and gather the news for this industry, law enforcement, private police, LP, and so on, we're seeing other countries are having the same situation. Security in Australia, Germany, we just saw a news article about resistance. Canada is very unique. They have special constables, aka special police, who are security officers with certain law enforcement authority on their property. And I just saw a takedown of a homeless woman. Many questioned it, were upset, said that malls should allow the homeless to stay there, to live there, to come and go. They should not be trespassed. They should not be determined to be creating any type of crime or violating the law. It's almost like they were saying that they had a right to be there. They don't. We're seeing law enforcement understaffed and private security trying to do their job. And I will tell you that in many cases, they are doing a good job with less resources, less support, less training, less money, although now is not really as bad as it has been. Hourly pay for private security has no doubt gone up in the last 3 years, in some places substantially. You know, there's places in California and in Washington, D.C. metro area that's paying $25 to $30 an hour, unheard of, for private security. A friend of mine, two friends of mine, one in California, owns security companies. You know, there are some security officers making upwards of $100,000. A friend of mine in Northern Virginia, his security office, several of his security officers last year made up about $123,000. Have you ever heard of security officers making $123,000? Security officers and many employees today, they have the upper hand on their employers. They don't have a business if they don't have employees. So employees can almost demand whatever they want in salary and almost be guaranteed to get it. Components of alliance and allegiance. We have to have all of these components. You want people to be aligned with you. You want security companies to be aligned with you. You want law enforcement to be aligned with you. We have an allegiance. But it sure would be nice. It sure would be nice if security companies and law enforcement could work together and have an allegiance with each other. Not just an alliance, although an alliance is good. It's definitely the starting point, and it's oftentimes all that you need. We're aligned. We're in agreement. We agree that this is the task at hand. This is the job at hand. This is what needs to be done to reduce the violent crimes, to reduce the rise in gun violence, in drugs, in robberies, takeover, thefts. We are aligned. We are in agreement. But it would be so much better if at least the security industry and law enforcement could come together and build that allegiance. And in some areas and some companies, they have. But for the most part, we're not there yet. And sometimes it looks like we're far apart and we don't understand. We don't want to understand. We don't want to make the effort. We don't want to move forward. We don't want to change. We don't want what's best for everybody. We're only thinking about ourselves. We only care about ourselves. This is well beyond competitiveness. I could go on and on and on with examples like the football league, the NFL, the baseball league, any sports league. Yeah, they're competitive against each other. But when a certain situation happens, when there's topics of concern, they all align with each other. They stand with an allegiance to each other, and they are all collectively in one mind and one accord. Isn't it time that we figure this out for the safety of all? Isn't this time that we reach across and shake hands and move forward collectively with an alliance? One of the ways you can do that, of course, is to become a member of Private Officer International and open up a chapter. We will give you all of the guidelines. We will give you all of the tools that you need. We will give you everything to bring your community together, to bring security companies in your area in alignment. For more information, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Pete Radio. We're glad that you have been here, whether you listen to us live today or you're streaming on one of the 27 or so platforms. We're also streaming on iHeartRadio and also on our own website at privateofficer.org. Now, next week, we're going to talk about what to expect in 2023 and how you can really get involved. And I'm praying that 2023 will be different for us, for our profession, for our country. But we really need to unite. We need to unite in our profession. Y'all stay safe. Be blessed. We'll see you back here on the radio.